Blog Talk Radio.
This is Cale Brown. Now, I didn't play a doctor on TV, but I will prescribe Brandon's Buzz for absolutely anybody who wants to know what's really going on.
Hey, guys, this is Brett Claywell from One Life to Live, and you're listening to Brandon's Buzz.
This is Taylor Dane, and you are listening to the one and only Brandon Buzz.
Hi, this is Lynn Herring on Brandon's Buzz. It's the great entertainment talk show on now. Brandon, I love you. Thanks for having me.
This is Linda Dano. I'm on Brandon's Buzz, and I have to tell you, what a fun hour I just had. Ah, this is a great kid with a wonderful heart and soul. You listen every day. I know I will.
Hey, hey, this is Nia Peoples, and you are checking out Brandon's Buzz right now.
Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin from the band Mr. Big. I'm live and kicking on Brandon's Buzz.
Hi, this is Dave Romero, and you're going to love buzzing with Brandon's Buzz.
Hey guys, welcome back to Brandon's Buzz. I am Brandon. We are live tonight, Tuesday, May 24th, 2011, and you would think that I would have been sharp enough not to have scheduled this up against the American Idol finale, and you would be wrong, clearly, but thanks for coming and hanging out with us nonetheless tonight. I don't do these live very often, but my fabulous guest and I will be taking your calls tonight. So if you'd like to take part in this conversation tonight, the call-in number is 347-202-0799. By all means, give us a buzz and let us know what's on your minds tonight. You know, it's a special night around here, and we've got one hell of a special lady back with us for her seventh visit to Brandon's Buzz. You, of course, remember her remarkable 12-year run writing the premier soap-related column in the industry, Soap Opera Weekly's Critical Condition, which she wrote under the marvelous nom de plume of Marlena Delacroix. She's still on the scene, she's still got strong opinions, and I couldn't be more ecstatic that she has once again chosen this show on which to reveal how she feels about the industry she has spent a large measure of her life and career covering. She's just the best, and it's a thrill to welcome back here for her seventh visit, the fantastic Connie Passalacqua-Hayman.
Hi, Brandon. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
How are you doing, my darling?
No, I'm doing fine. A little on the depressed side, but otherwise, you know, depressed soap-wise, that's for sure. It's also sad.
You know, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. I know that All My Children's your old favorite. And
oh, God, yes.
One Life to Live is my old favorite show. And, you know, this news that they're going off the air soon, it's 6 weeks old now or so, and quite frankly, I still haven't fully processed any of it.
You know, I don't think we're really going to process it until it actually goes off the air because, you know, we could still spend our afternoons watching the shows and the storylines are still progressing. I really don't think that the real full effect is going to hit us until one day we put on TV and there's those awful shows, you know, The Chew and The Revolution. But it
no,
just seems... What?
I was just going to say, I've been trying to write about it for my blog all this time and I still haven't quite come to terms with it yet, and I sure can't find the words for it.
Well, I just kind of wrote it's like being kicked out of home, you know. I've spent, you know, 41 years watching, you know, 40 or so years watching each of them, and they're just like home to me, and it's like inconceivable that I would come back, you know, that I would come home and that they wouldn't be there, but it's going to happen, and I just can't grasp the reality of it, you know, but it really is a home, and it really is, you know. You know, and I've, you know, All My Children has always been my favorite. I always thought that Agnes Nixon was, you know, the best talent in daytime, and her show was always so fun and sophisticated and just full of wisdom and womanliness. And, you know, the fact that it's not going to be there is just shocking to me.
You know, it is a small comfort, but isn't it great that they actually have welcomed Agnes back into the fold for the final month just to give it?
Yeah, that's really
as
nice.
As proper a send-off as it can have.
Yeah, that's the only sunny side of this is that they're going to have Lorraine and Agnes back for the last 2 months. So, but it's not that long. I mean, we're already up until the end of May, and it's only June, July, you know.
You have to imagine that they have most of the summer written already when the news when the news was handed down. So
probably, yeah. I think they have this Erica doppelganger story looked like it was going to go on forever. Maybe that's like the one good point is that they're going to end it. You know, I hope maybe they'll end it, but, you know, I'm not real sure if, you know, exactly what they're going to do. But I'm sure that whatever Lorraine writes will be really great.
Sure. So give me your initial impressions when you learned of these cancellations. What went through your mind when you first heard this news?
Well, I had had a bad dream the week before that they had gone off, you know. So you can see that these shows are so, like, in my consciousness. I was dreaming about them. And I was in class, and it was just really, it wasn't shocking because, I mean, you knew it was coming after there had been so many rumors in the last couple of weeks. But still, it just, you know, it just had that inconceivable kind of, you know, that inconceivable kind of, like, how could this happen? How could this be?
You know, you mentioned the rumors. You know, very serious rumors had been flying around about One Life for, you know, a good year.
Right, and, yeah, and, but still, but you didn't think they would take them off. I mean,
sure.
Maybe One Life, maybe, you know, they were having some writing problems or some, you know, I mean, I think that they had some ratings problems, but you just never thought that they would get rid of one, let alone two.
Absolutely, and then Logan had his bombshell report. And
well, yeah, just proves that
kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah, it just proves that his sources were good ones, you know. But,
you know,
looking back, I don't know, I was thinking about this because I had written something, I don't know, maybe it was about 6 months ago, and I said that, you know, I just thought it was very odd that none of the regimes had been changing, that they didn't have any new writers and they didn't have any new producers, and how could these shows get better if they're not changing any of these writers or producers? And I think that was kind of like a precursor. I think they just didn't bother to change them. So, in a way, I might have known that it was coming.
You know, that is a fair point. I mean, you look at someone like Julie Carruthers, and I think she's a very good producer, but, you know, they allowed her, she was the, you know, during some very rocky writing regimes on All My Children the past decade anyway, it's, you know, she's kind of the common denominator in all of that. And so,
yeah, they never changed
her. Been able to keep her amongst all this turmoil.
And they had other people floating around. They could have used Wendy Rich, who was a good friend of Julie's and probably wouldn't have done it. But, you know, this is like, why was she there so long, you know? And they just didn't, there was no change. And the Donna, who I knew forever, who I liked very much personally, and Donna and David, they were doing such a terrible job, and they just didn't get rid of them, you know? And it just went on and on and on with Chuck Pratt. I mean, there was never a change. So I think the fact that they just didn't want to make changes that quickly really, really was indicative of what might have been going on in the back of their minds.
You know, what do you make of the notion that ABC canceled both of these shows at the same time so that they could avoid the trap that, you know, CBS fell into, where they canceled Guiding Light in the spring and got hammered for it, and then they axed World Turns just a few months later and got hammered for it all over again. I mean,
well, the fact that they canceled both of them at one time, I think they probably just wanted to get their disasters out of the way at once. And, you know, but now, you know, we've got all these rumors about General Hospital being canceled. That would really be the, you know, the final curtain, so to speak. Why they canceled the two of them together, I really don't know, but it's just so shocking, you know. It's just so shocking. They might as well get it all done at once.
Well, I mean, that's the conventional wisdom that I'm hearing anyway, is that they did it in one fell swoop to kind of get whatever anger they perceived would be there out of the way all at one time.
Right, and they knew there were going to be anger. I mean, I don't know if you saw this online, but, you know, they had that protest against taking soaps off the air at Lincoln Central last week, and there in the middle of the fray was Brian Frantz. Boy, I wish I had been there. I would have gone over and said hello to him. I knew him many years ago in the Santa Barbara days. I mean, I haven't seen him in like 30 years, but still, I'm sure he would recognize me in my name, that's for sure. After the many delicate things I've called him. But people are really hysterical. I mean, people are really like spitting bullets.
You know, it's so funny to me, the vast and radical difference in the reaction here. I mean, I would wager that, you know, things like Twitter and Facebook, which have really kind of hit critical mass in the last year or so, have really helped us along. But, you know, I'll tell you, I've never seen a reaction to one of these cancellations like we're seeing here. I mean, you know, people were upset about Guiding Light and World Turns and, you know, even Another World in Santa Barbara back in the day. But you know, people, fans, actors, the industry as a whole, I've talked to quite a few actors and producers off the record about this, and people are downright livid. I mean, enraged.
And they are enraged, like, yeah. Well, you have to remember that the shows don't deserve to be canceled. You know, I mean, when you got down to the end of Guiding Light, it was pretty much played out just about every story they could play. And As the World Turns had been on for so long, but these shows still have life in them, and I think that's one of the reasons why everybody's so mad. You know, I still think One Life to Live is a very viable show.
no question. And, you know, I mean, All My Children has, admittedly, it's still pretty rocky, but it's gotten a lot better in the last 6 months or so than it has been.
Well, yeah, it still seems like there's a lot of big holes in it. You know, it doesn't seem to me to be, you know, outside of Erica and her daughters, it doesn't seem to be much of any kind of a story. Or, you know, and it just doesn't really seem to be, like, that lively, or Pine Valley doesn't seem to be that real a place, especially compared to Lambeau, where things are popping every day.
Sure. But considering how firebombed it was under the Pratt regime, I mean, you know,
you've got
little pockets like Tad and Kara and Jake.
Yeah, you've got little pockets, and you still have a family, and there still is some of the warmth, that's for sure. And, then, you know, the Erica and her daughters are still very strong. But it doesn't feel, as I said, but it doesn't really feel to me like a real place. It just feels to me like kind of isolated. Whereas One Life to Live, it really feels like a real town. There's something happening every minute.
Sure. And you know what? I have big problems with that show, too, especially considering where it was at one time. But I'll tell you what I like about what's happening on that show right now. And it's also happening on YNR, too. I don't know if you watch YNR regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But when something happens in one story on One Life to Live, it affects 10 other stories on the canvas. I mean, it's really interesting the way they
right,
kind of
it's a very tightly woven show.
It's almost like Jim Reilly back in the day, the way he would kind of interconnect and interweave all of his
right, that's classic soap writing.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So we've got some callers on the line. Do you want to take a phone call or two and
sure.
see what people are thinking?
Wow.
This is area code 773, and I believe this is my buddy Rita. Rita, is that you?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
You were the
yes.
first one on the line, my darling. Say hi to Connie Heyman. She's right here.
Hi, Rita. How are you?
Hi,
Connie.
Hi. Oh, not good. Not good. I mean, I agree. I think you're right. I think these two shows, more people, even the lady who plays the head of the person on Grey's Anatomy, she was even saying that on The View the other day, she's totally devastated about All My Children going off the air. And me, I think everybody is just more outraged by the two ABCs than they were. I see that. I'm going through, and thank you, Brandon. Thank you so much for letting me talk. I'm seeing when I'm going through whatever I'm going through, I'm calling up my friend and I'm getting all excited. And I said, no, Kendall needs to get another letter, and Ricky needs to turn as pale as a ghost. And I'm seeing that the writers are still caring about their viewers.
That's
and
true.
Brandon, can I ask you a favor? 818-460-7477, if you could put that out there for the people other than me that don't have computers that want to make comments.
Okay,
or
and
are
what is
computer
this?
Illiterate.
What is this
818-460-7477, and then extension 233 for All My Children, extension 663 for One Life to Live. They're making comments.
Okay. Very good.
I'm able to get out of what I'm going through and go into these things, and I even called up NBC down at the network and asked them if they would consider buying it, and they said no. Hundreds and hundreds of people have asked us. I don't think enough is. And please put my name down if you sign a petition. I'm giving you permission.
That was a big rumor that NBC was going to buy the shows, but I guess it's not true.
I mean,
yeah, they've been talking about NBC,
with...
they've been talking about Sony, they've been talking about a number of interested or possibly interested suitors, but nothing has come to pass so far, I don't think.
How do they think any Food Network or any other thing is going to capture the interest of viewers that have gotten so into these stories? Makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
It's true. I mean, food is so fleeting. I mean, it doesn't make you want to tune in tomorrow. You know, you're not going to be friends with Tim Gunn, or you're not going to be friends with Mario Batali. I mean, both of them are not exactly people you want to, you know, you want in your family the way that you would think that you'd want Erica or Vicky in your family.
Or even Rachel Ray.
Right.
As sweet as she could be at times. I mean, you can't get all excited. Like, you know, when are they going to discover, when is the two, Erica Kane and Jane, going to face off outside of that room she confined her to?
Right,
and
exactly. And who's feeding her?
What's going to happen with that? Jane
right.
is her dual role. Her first time dual role. What do you think of Susan Lucci's dual role? Do you think she's how she?
I thought it was going to be bad, but I think Susan is doing a good job. I think she's, you know, so far playing Jane. I think that she's doing a really decent job. You really get the feeling that she is someone who doesn't know what's going on, and that she
well,
really
you know,
is an outsider.
For the most part, she's an entertainer.
Right.
And she's highly entertaining, and I'm a little bit, shame on all my children for not taking advantage of that beautiful set of lungs she has.
Right.
I mean, a little bit more often than
did you read her autobiography?
I'm not good at retaining by way of reading. I'm
better. Well, her autobiography is that? It's called All My Afternoons, I think it's called, and it's good. All My Life. I really read it. I thought it was really interesting, really refreshing, and very positive enough. She's had a very successful life, and it's very interesting to hear her comments on it.
You know, she's very classy, and of course, I mean, that's no surprise. Everybody's known that for years now, but, you know, she's handled herself with a great deal of grace.
Certainly.
Amongst, you know, all of this chaos, and, you know, it's... I know how she feels. She probably will never express it, but you know, I can tell you that I was deeply offended at how seemingly ABC Daytime kind of threw her to the wolves on this little book tour that she went on for her book.
Right. It was a sad coincidence that it happened all at the same time.
You know, you've done interviews for years. You know how to do it, and you know, you would think that somebody at ABC would have coached her, and you know, kind of walked her through exactly what to say instead of, you know, letting her just go out and put a sunny face on everything and pretend that everything was fine. When
right,
reality,
exactly. I guess they just wanted to keep it all a big secret, which is a pretty big insult to her considering the millions and millions of dollars she's made, billions of dollars she's made
no
for them.
She is ABC Daytime's marquee star by far.
Oh, for sure. And her book, you know, people believe what she says. I mean, she's very
sure.
credible.
I mean, this book is a bestseller, and
yeah, it is.
That doesn't happen by accident.
No, it is. That's for sure. I mean, the book, and it sounds like her too. It doesn't sound like somebody else wrote it. It really does sound like her.
You know, I'll tell you, I'm a big fan of Judge Judy. I think she's fabulous, and you know, talk about a personality you can build a show around. And she's it if there ever was it. And one of the things that she always says that cracks me up is that if it doesn't make sense, it usually isn't true.
Right.
Now, I'll tell you that I have no concrete evidence to back up what I'm about to say here, and not for lack of trying either. I mean, I've been knocking on doors, I've been writing people, I've been trying to dig up any information I can about advertising rates and what have you, but, you know, I've been able to uncover little to nothing, and I refuse to believe that ABC is losing money on their soaps, or that, as Mr. Franz claimed in one of his interviews, that they are on track to begin losing money on these shows in the short-term future.
I don't think they're losing money. I just think they think they're going to make more money on those idiot shows, on, you know, on The Chew and The Revolution, that they're not going to have to spend any money in production. They're just going to have, like, one set and one set of people, and they're not gonna, and the overhead is not going to be as high. So I think that it's a matter of corporate greed.
I agree,
as they say, business sense.
You know, I agree with you, but Franz, in one of his interviews, specifically said that All My Children, he specifically singled out All My Children as it was either already losing money or it was on track to begin losing money soon. And, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me, even with ratings being down as they are. You're still talking about between
right.
the daytime airing and the multiple soap net airings. I'm going to guess that close to 4 million people are still watching these shows every day.
Definitely.
There are primetime series that are considered hits, that
uh-huh.
are considered hallmarks, that don't pull in those kinds of numbers. I mean, I'm really wondering what gives here.
you know, well, the, you know, they came to a point where you don't really believe anything the network says anymore. I mean, they said these shows weren't going to be canceled, and look what happened. So there comes a point where, you know, the truth stops being told. So you don't know what's the truth anymore. They're the only ones that have access to their real numbers and the advertise, you know, and the advertising dollars. So who knows what the truth is anymore? I mean, I hate to say that, having dealt with ABC, you know, for decades, and usually they used to be a pretty classy outfit, but that was a different time, a different place.
A radically different time.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I didn't have the one-on-one that a lot of the reporters had with the current PR people, but, you know, they didn't seem to be very forthcoming with not alone the truth, but information. You know, it's called spin.
Sure.
And that's what they're paid to do. So, I don't think we'll ever really know what the situation is as to whether or not they're still making any money.
But, you know, if it is just about making the same amount of money with a less expensive product, why don't they just say that instead of jumping to the idea that the soaps are losing money when they're really not?
I don't know. To tell you the truth, I just think they're in such a hurry to broom, you know, to get these time periods back that they'll say just about anything. You know, when you think about it, it's been like 6 or 7 years and, you know, no improvements were made. Why not? You know, it's not like it happened last year or it happened last month.
Sure.
You know, this has been
especially when the rest of television underwent, you know, the rest of, when you look at primetime television today versus where it was, to say nothing of you know,
right,
a decade ago, where it was 5 years ago, I mean, things have radically modernized themselves, for lack of a better word, on primetime
television, right,
on up-to-date parts of television, and yet, you know, soaps are still working under those same old canards from the 60s.
True. Well, yeah, but also, you know, they didn't really have control of themselves. Like, look at Oprah. She has control of her own show, so she can make hers modern and do all kinds of new things. They never did anything new with, you know, with All My Children and One Life to Live. It was just the same, basically, and it was going downward. You can't tell me that someone couldn't have thought of some way to stop the degenerating numbers. It had to be something they could have done. You know, it's just been one downward trajectory with no, you know, and we all pretty much, you know, somebody told me that, you know, 10 years ago I wrote a column saying what was wrong with, you know, with network soaps, and nothing was ever done. You know, it wasn't just me, but you see what I'm saying? It's, I mean, nothing. It's just like a steady downward curve with no, you know, certainly you would want to save your own shows, don't you think?
No question about it, especially since they own them.
Exactly.
And they have, I mean, it's not like, you know.
It's called mismanagement.
No question about it. No question about it.
You know, I think the word is malfeasance, and I think that basically is it. You know, it's basically they gave the shows to people who didn't know what they were doing in order to get them to go off the air. But that's like a pretty heavy conspiracy theory. I don't know if I subscribe to that totally. But you have to think about, like, why did this happen? You know, why? Where did it come from? It's not all just from one person. It's not all just from Brian.
Sure.
You know, it's a lot of people. They lost a lot of really good people around, you know, the turn of the, you know, around 2000 or so. They got rid of people like Felicia Baer and
Absolutely.
Maxine Levinson. And
Claire Levine.
Yeah, Claire Levine. They got rid of all these people who had great success. And they basically threw them out the window because the numbers had went down. And they didn't get anybody who was any better, that's for sure. You know, so you have to ask what basically happened that I mean, the numbers went down, people freaked out, and they, you know, the traditional thing in TV is to fire people when the numbers go down, but why didn't they hire better people? Why didn't they hire people who knew how to solve a problem?
Or at very least, different people, bring in fresh blood.
Yeah, well, that's something that daytime was never very good at. It was always a very closed little world because people were very afraid of, you know, because, you know, they thought that, well, if we can't get jobs anyplace else, why should we let strangers in?
How about another phone call?
Okay.
Area code 616. I believe this is my buddy John in Michigan. Is that you, John?
Yes, it is, Brandon. I didn't think I'd be the next one. I just pushed one like 10 seconds ago. That's weird. How are you?
How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you doing, Connie?
I'm doing very good. Say hi to Connie Heyman.
Hi, how are you?
I kind of subscribe to that theory you were trying to see if you believed it or not, because I don't know. For me, I've been watching these shows for over 20 years, and I'm 35 years old. I've been watching them since I was about 15. I don't know if it was a Disney thing or what, but Disney acquired ABC around 95, correct?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And then, like, they hired in Brian for, like, everything seemed to be okay, like, in the 90s. I mean, you had Mary Ellis Dwyer Dobbin and Angela Shapiro, and you had executive producers that actually liked soaps, you know, so it seemed to, you know, still be going in the correct way. Like, they were losing viewers, but at least, you know, you had heads that, you know, seemed to care about daytime. And then when they got Franz in there, and he brought back Guza, and he brought in, you know, Julie over all my children.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any question that Brian really hasn't done the greatest job.
Yeah, and basically what I'm trying to say is I think sometime, I don't know when it happened, but Disney said we don't want these shows anymore, so they decided to slowly ruin them in a sense so people would stop watching him. And I think he focused more on General Hospital and All My Children because he considers those to be the higher brand for the network, and he doesn't think One Life to Live is that well known. So that might be why One Life to Live right now, in my opinion, is probably the best written show on ABC, because he didn't mismanage it as much as he did the other two. I don't know. But I think that definitely added to a lot, you know, of why all these shows are getting canceled. Because they just don't want them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. I think that they just wanted that time period back. You know, I just don't think they were fully invested in them. Because, you know, Disney is not a dumb corporation. They don't, you know, they don't just let things go and look at their own success over the years and how many, you know, the greatest success, one of the greatest, you know, entertainment producers in the world. Why would they let these things degenerate unless they actually wanted them to?
Sure.
Do you think maybe, and it might not happen this year or next year, it may take like 5 years or so, but do you think, are you at all familiar with the telenovelas and how they run like five nights a week?
I know of them, yeah, of course.
Do you think that kind of format would work for these daily dramas? You know.
Yeah. Maybe they let, you know, these bad shows be on for like a year. You know, like the Shoe and stuff be on for like a year, and then maybe they'd start telenovelas. In other words, soaps that pretty much could, you know, have endings like the way that telenovelas do.
Yeah, and a lot better than the My Network TV stuff did a couple years ago. But
right.
I'm sorry, that's just bad. But no, I just wanted to give my opinion and ask you that question. So I'll let you guys go on to the next caller. Thank you for taking my call, Brandon. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much, John.
Take care.
Bye.
You know, John mentions the telenovelas. Port Charles tried that format years ago at the very end of its run, and
Port Charles was a terrible show. It was just a really poor production, I think.
But, you know, I mean, they tried those three-month arcs, and some of them worked and some of them didn't. I mean, it was. I think that they didn't perhaps use enough patience with it, and they were fighting an uphill battle anyway with time slots and what have you, clearance.
Yeah, and as I said, I just don't think it was that great a show. I don't think it was that well-written, and then they really went crazy and did vampires and just really kind of like went out to lunch, so... When I'm talking about the telenovela format, I mean that, you know, that a show is on for a year and then they stop it and then they put on another one, not just three-month arcs, but like just year lifetimes for some of these shows, because that's what they do with the telenovelas. They put them on and they take them off. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried that format in another year or so and then brought our favorite soap stars on just so we'll watch.
Listen, I would watch if you imagined an all-star telenovela type show with people like, you know, Zimmer and Victoria Wyndham and
right,
you know, well, just each brand the all stars from all the shows and you know, just throw them up there and let them play characters and, you know, let them have fun, that would be a blast.
That would be great, except the people like Kim Zimmer and Vicky Wyndham they would think would be too old. They'd have to get 20-year-olds to come on and do it. But, you know, I don't think it's that bad a concept. I think that would be really exciting if they did something like that.
Well, and listen, I mean, from what we hear, I mean, that format in other parts of the world is the number one television fair to be found.
Right. I just read that they're starting even more new ones. There's no reason why they can't do
it
here.
And clearly it resounds with the audience. It reverberates.
But, I mean, there'll be no soap opera at all. I mean, you know, they canceled Brothers and Sisters. I mean, there's not going to be any soap opera, and there's going to be a huge audience, and they're not going to tap it. You know, I can't believe that. I mean, they're literally throwing 20 million people out the window. They've got to go somewhere.
Absolutely. So let's talk about The View.
Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about The View.
Oh, The View. What about The View?
I want to quote Marlena Delacroix from September.
Oh, I love The View. I watch The View every day. The View are my gals. I mean, they're in my age group, and it's a fun show. But I wouldn't want to watch it 8 hours a day. 1 hour a day is fine.
I want to quote Marlena from September 23rd, 1997. The column was Summer Guts and Glory, and this is what you said about The View, roughly a month after it debuted on ABC.
Oh, I'm so flattered when you go back to my old columns.
You say, I certainly didn't want to like this show, since the idea of four women sitting around gabbing didn't seem particularly appealing to moi, but how intelligent their conversations are turning out to be. I think it's meritorious that in the face of the failure of a fairly sophisticated show, The City, ABC Daytime has reinvested in the intelligence of the female daytime audience.
Oh, that's right on the money.
You know,
no, it's
asked,
true, because it's still, you know, I mean, it's still, they still have intelligent conversations, and that's why, you know, that's why I feel so bad about One Last to Live and All My Children Going Off, because they're intelligent shows, and what are they going to put on? They're going to put on dumb shows. They're not going to put on intelligent shows.
You know, I've asked this question of several people on this show over the past few weeks, and not one of them have agreed with my hypothesis that in many ways the runaway success of The View was the worst thing that could have ever happened to soaps.
Why?
Because you and I both know that when something works in television, it's copied immediately. And
right. Well, it took a long time for the talk to come on. It took like 10 years.
Well, you know, but to be fair, I mean, several syndicated talk shows have tried that format, and they failed because they weren't as good as The View, or they weren't built around
That's
personalities
true.
As strong as people on The View. But, you know, clearly, with pairing up The View with The Chew and The Revolution, ABC is clearly going after a sense of cohesion and of homogenized programming that they can cross-promote and make easily digestible for the viewer. And, you know, that's been their game for several years now with their soap lineup. I mean, I'm sure you remember years ago when someone at the network got the bright
idea. Yeah, but they don't sell those talk shows in a block. I mean, the way that they would sell soap operas in a block. And the fact that, you know, that The Chew and The Revolution are coming on, that doesn't mean they're going to be as well produced. You know, the reason The View is a good show is because it's well produced by Barbara Walters, who's an intelligent woman, and Bill Getty. They don't know who's, you know, these shows are going to be halfway as good. I don't think that talk shows are sold as a block.
I honestly believe that they're going to try to sell these. They're going to try to set this up as one block of.
No, my brain will not take 3 hours of it. You know, I mean, I could sit and watch
for the female viewer on ABC Daytime. And
I could sit and watch 3 hours of soaps, but I can't sit and watch 3 hours of talk shows. That's for sure.
You know,
could
I,
you?
I remember, no, not at all. I mean, my brain would just fry.
Right.
But you know, I remember years ago when someone at the network got the broad idea that the entire soap slate should be tied together and feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they brought in Linda Dano and they made her travel to all the shows.
Well, that was an unfortunate political error.
They made all the
as much as we love Linda and we love her, so it was not her fault personally. That's
no,
for
sure.
Sure.
Absolutely, but you know they made all the openings the same, and they, in many ways, I think, robbed the shows of their individual unique identities. And I get a sense that they're trying to set up a similar track here with these new shows, so that one will bleed into the next and bleed into the next.
As I said, I don't know who's producing these new shows. You know, maybe if they have intelligent producers on the order of Barbara Walters, which I doubt. I think that they've yet to prove, you know, what they're going to be. I don't even think they know what they're going to be. Do you?
I get the sense that they're still very much working on the fly with these new shows. I mean, they
yeah. I mean, do you know who the producers are? I don't.
I don't. I don't have. I haven't heard nothing about that.
You know, all they said was, well, Mario Batali is going to be on one, and Tim Gunn is going to be on another one. That doesn't really mean anything.
And, you know, they've shown a couple of previews, and nothing I've seen in any of that footage makes me go, yes, I want to see this. So,
what are the previews like?
The preview that I saw of the Chew, it was like a 3-minute, like electronic press kit or something. And, you know, they were cooking and they were showing off the hosts of the show. I can't even remember, besides Mario Batali, I can't remember who else was on the show.
Right.
And they were just showing food and I guess showing that they're going to be, you know, cooking and showing recipes and I guess, you know, all the stuff related to food.
All this dumb girl stuff. Well,
but, you know,
there's already
4 or 5 cooking channels. I mean, why do we need this?
I know.
Where's the need at the marketplace for something like this?
Right. Why can't they bring on an HGTV show? Why can't they bring on a decorating show? Why can't they bring on something that's totally different or something that there's only one channel of instead of 15 channels of? I mean, I really have no interest in watching a cooking show. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have to cook every night, but I could pretty much deduce it on my own. I don't need people to help me. And even Rachel Ray, you know, is really aimed at people who cook every night. And, you know, one Rachel Ray is enough. How many do they need? I'm not going to cook a Mario Batali dinner every night. And I've been to his restaurants, and they're good, you know. And I know that he makes good food, but I'm not sure I'm going to want to make one of, you know, his kind of meals every night. And I know I don't dress well enough for Tim Gunn. That's for sure. You know, if he saw me on the street, he would say, Marlena, no. You know, I'm not, I don't know what, you know, what, if they could devote a whole hour to fashion during the daytime. I mean, what are they going to talk about? You know what American housewives wear.
A close friend of mine right now is saying that we need this because the cooking shows, the cooking channels are not on broadcast network television. Is there something to that idea?
Well, okay. You know, all right. I'll access one or two, but how many do you need? You know, what do you need? I mean, isn't Rachel Ray enough?
You know, that kind of fits into my next question. And I'm wondering, in this fragmented age of DVRs and, you know, all the choice, when it comes to television viewing, is there still such a thing as network loyalty?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think the loyalty is only to, you know, you mean viewer-wise?
Yes.
I think that people were loyal to the ABC soaps. I think they were loyal to the CBS soaps. I think they were loyal to the NBC soaps, but I don't think anymore they are. I don't think they're going to be loyal to the ABC talk shows. Do you?
And, you know, I wonder. I when I was a kid, before I found the ABC shows, and we're talking about 25 years ago and more,
mm-hmm.
my grandmother was an avid Y&R fan. She owned a seafood restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and she opened at noon every day. And she opened at noon every day specifically because Y&R came on at 11.
Uh-huh.
And she would watch it while she was getting ready for the day. And then,
mm-hmm.
You know, open the restaurant when the show went off. And so we would watch Price is Right, and then Y&R, and then I would flip over to NBC and watch Days.
Right.
And just stay there for the rest of the afternoon. And
right.
I think me too.
I would watch all the NBC soaps, and then I started watching all the ABC soaps. But, you know, it was definitely network loyalty.
You know, I think that we're seeing some evidence right now with CBS. I mean, the ratings for The Talk and Let's Make a Deal are essentially the same,
mm-hmm.
you know, give or take a tiny fluctuation in either direction, as what World Turns and Guiding Light were pulling in their final years. And, you know, in terms of producing an explanation for that trend, I really think that you could make a strong case that it's not that those two new shows are such great electrifying, you know, audience galvanizing shows, but that it's simply that for a non-trivial number of viewers out there, the televisions go on in the morning for Price is Right. They stay there for Y&R, and then they just stay there at CBS for the rest of the day. And it feels like, at least from the outside, that Mr. Franz and ABC are betting pretty hard that
the situation will
take shape on their network, and that, you know, they can hold steady without having to appease.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Writing staffs,
but they've got a lot writing, but they have nothing to show, though. I mean, they've got ABC. Think about it now. What are people going to put on? They're not going to put on Regis. He's off the air. They're not going to put on Oprah. He's off the air. They're not going to put on All My Children. They're not going to put on One Life to Live. What are they going to put ABC on for? They have nothing.
Well, I mean, they have The View in the morning, and so and that gets back to my earlier point, is what I'm thinking that they're thinking is that people will watch The View in the morning and then just stay there for the day.
Well, as I say, I think The View is a very particular show, that it's very intelligent, and I just don't have any – I don't have any inkling that these shows after that are going to be as intelligent. I'm not going to watch 3 hours of it. I mean, I'll watch The View, but I'm not going to watch what comes after it. You know, unless it's really erudite and learned, and you know, it's some, you know, they manage to duplicate the intelligence of The View, and I can't see that happening. Could you?
No, I don't. But if you wave the carrot of General Hospital at the end of the day for those fans, I wonder how many of them will stay tuned throughout the day and just for the
idea. If they leave General Hospital on, what if they take General Hospital off?
That's what remains to be seen, I guess.
I know. I mean, you know, they haven't really made the announcement for Katie Couric yet.
You know,
and the fact that Bob Guza left, I don't think that bodes well for them. Do you?
You know, I don't know. I in many ways, I think it was time for him to go.
Well, it's been time for him to go for the last 10 years, if you ask me. ugliness and the sexism of that show has just been a scandal. You know, it's in a way, I wouldn't even be all that upset if General Hospital got canceled. It's been so ugly. You know, you've got a shrew for a leading lady, Carly the Shrew. You've got, you know, two murderers for leading men. And, you know, what about it is so great? You know, is there anything that you find terribly uplifting about the show? Does it make you feel better to watch it?
Not at all, especially in the past year or so. I mean, with them killing Jake off in the span of 3 episodes and, you know.
Right, that's
all
right.
The dark, and all the shootings and all the car bombs.
Right, it's just been, you know, it's just been unremittingly dark. And they say that this new head writer really likes all this dark stuff, so it could be even worse. So, you know, if General Hospital goes off the air, I won't even be all that upset. So people could start throwing flies at me immediately. I mean, I still love the legacy of General Hospital. I mean, I watched in Luke and Laura days, and I watched since then. But,
sure.
You know, the last 10, 12 years have been really rough going, and I really could have lived without it, to tell you the truth.
You know, you've been around, and don't let me call you old by any means, but, you know, you've been around the block a couple of times, and I'm wondering how you see all of this shaking out. I mean, you know, daytime right now is in the middle of some downright seismic changes. I mean, Oprah's leaving this week.
I know. It's unbelievable. It's just everybody is gone. They're really taking the craziest gamble I've ever seen in TV history. What do you think?
I think it's stunning. I mean, you know, the soaps are dropping. Katie Couric, rumors are strong that you know, she's going to make her way to daytime, and who knows where she's going to land.
That's right. And they have no anchors. They have no anchors. I mean, even losing a show like Oprah is, like this last week, you think, well, there's no Oprah. Wow, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, Regis is stepping down. I mean, it's the landscape in daytime is rocking and rolling and changing in ways right now that it maybe never has before.
I know. Well, the thing is, it's happening all at once. If it was done one show at a time, it would be different. But to lose them all at once, I mean, they're really taking a terrible, terrible gamble. It's like they're just throwing everything away. It's throwing
so
their viewers away. Think about it.
Well,
no, think of the 20 million All My Children viewers. Where are they going to go? What are they going to watch? And think about the One Life viewers. What are they going to go? What are they going to watch?
Sure, but, you know, I mean, where did the As the World Turns viewers go? Where did the Guiding Light viewers go? They sure didn't come to ABC.
That's true. I don't know. I guess I'm more upset, you know, in a way that One Life to Live is going to go. Like, you know, when we talk about General Hospital doesn't bother me, but One Life to Live is a really good show. I think they've been doing really well lately, don't you?
I absolutely do. But you know what I think? I mean, you know, we've talked about this several times, and you know, it's been kind of the joke of the industry for years that One Life is kind of the redheaded stepchild of ABC. They don't really they forget it's there half the time, and so you know it's funny right now that One Life is ABC's top rated soap and has been for most of this year.
Uh huh.
And yet, you know, it's one of the two going off. And, you know,
I know, it's really question. It makes it all even more questionable, doesn't it?
You know, I wonder if they're just thinking that One Life, as John referenced earlier when he called in, that One Life doesn't have enough of a brand identity by itself in their thinking.
No, I don't know. It's been on for 40. It's been on for 40 years. You know, it's been on for 40 years. You know, it's just highly questionable why they lumped it in with All My Children, because I really think that All My Children is a lot more played out than One Life to Live will ever be.
Or General Hospital, for that matter.
Yeah, well, General Hospital just goes on its merry way. But, I mean, you know, I mean, all my children have just kind of played out in a lot of different ways. But One Life to Live is not played out.
So who
that's
are going
just,
to be
that's just my personal opinion.
I completely agree with you. So who are going to be the big winners when the dust kind of settles on all of this activity? Do you have a sense
no,
of...
No, I don't know, but it's not going to be you and me. It's not going to be you and me. I'm going to be bored. What about you? I think that you and I and everybody who's listening to the show is going to be the big losers. And I think that ABC is going to be the big losers because I don't know who's going to be watching those shows. Who do you think will be watching The Chew and The Revolution?
You know, it's you know, we asked the same question about Let's Make a Deal on the Talk, and yet, as I said, you know, the ratings, at least if the ratings are to be believed, they're not that much different than what World Turns and Kind of
I don't know. I'm suspect. Do you know anybody who really watches The Talk?
I've seen it maybe two times.
I watched today because Jeannie Francis was on, but that was it. I just watched for Jeannie Francis, and that was it. But I've never really – I watched it the first day, and I thought it was just brainless.
And I don't think I've sat through a full episode of Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah. The last time I watched a whole episode of Let's Make a Deal was like 35 years ago when I was a kid. You know, not putting down Wayne Brady or anything like
sure.
that. But I'm not a game show person, are you?
I was one in younger days, but not really so much anymore.
Well, you know, in the 60s and the 70s, game shows really dominated daytime TV, and that was something that kind of lost out and came back.
I mean, my partner and I watch Jeopardy every night before bed, and
Well, that's a different story, though. That's not even that's beyond a game show. That's for adults.
But I'll tell you something. Even that show half the time has been dumbed down significantly. I mean, some of the questions are just so ridiculous that they shouldn't have even made it to air. And so, you know, it kind of makes you wonder if.
Oh, I didn't know that. I haven't watched it in a long time. My parents used to watch it.
You know, I mean, it's still a fun show to watch, no question. But some of the questions are just like seriously. That I mean, you couldn't think of a better question than that to ask. And so
really, because it used to be
yeah.
so intelligent. It used to really be for the intelligent viewer. But do you see what I'm saying? But these things run in cycles. They have game shows and then they leave and they come back. I'm wondering if soaps are going to be in cycles and come back.
You know, I have a feeling that they will, just because, you know, there's an undeniable hunger out there for, you know, the kind of storytelling where you pop in for an hour a day, you get your fix of the story, and then you wait for the next day. I mean, there is that hunger out there.
Right.
Even though, you know, ratings are down, ratings are not – you'll never convince me that ratings are down because people are tired of that style of storytelling. I think ratings are down because people are tired of the soaps the way they've been – presented.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think that maybe in another year or two, you know, there might be another go round, but, you know, in a different format.
You know, if somebody brings a fresh approach to the genre,
right.
you can get somebody excited about anything again.
Right. But if they come on and they do like another General Hospital, which is all like dying and killing babies and you know, the mob, I mean, who wants to watch that? I mean, they're not going to bring that back. Right? The
sure.
problem is that you're destroying the legacy of All My Children, One Life to Live by taking them off.
Absolutely. You know, and any way you slice it, ABC is throwing 3 million deeply loyal viewers up for grabs here.
I know. I think it's more. They say 3 million, but I bet you it's more than that. They're really putting. I'm sorry. Go on.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say. I mean, all these people. Where are they going to go? I mean, that's the whole question. What was your question?
I was just going to say, do you think that we are going to see ratings increases for the four remaining soaps as these viewers get restless and start, you know, checking out other shows on the networks? I mean,
no.
It certainly happened in the past, but I don't think, for instance, that One Life benefited in any way from World Turns going off the air. So
no, I can't see, you know, Young and Restless and Bold and Beautiful picking up more people. The styles of the shows are just so different. You know, the style, it's just so stylistically different from All My Children and One Life to Live is so different from Y&R. You know, Y&R is so much more old-fashioned.
Sure, and Days even.
Days is something I don't even take into account anymore. Is that show still on?
Yes, it is.
It is, I know. And there are people who watch it, they tell me, but I'm not one of them. Although they did fire their head writer, so maybe, you know, maybe they'll come up with something new. But I haven't been a Days fan in ages and ages.
This is probably not the question for you at all, but my partner posed this one to me last night, and I think it's actually a rather profound question, and I'd like to hear your take on it. You know, we're looking at a society right now in which the first wave of baby boomers have reached retirement age, and the country's median age is inching upward and not downward. And I'm wondering where, in that new reality, where is television headed?
I don't know, because, you know, I'm a baby boomer. What am I going to watch? You know, what are they going to put on? Is everything going to be like TMZ? You know, is everything going to be either Hollywood Story? Is everything going to be the Kardashians? What do you, you know, that's where I think it's headed. Where do you think it's headed?
You know, I don't know. I know that Madison Avenue's minions claim that they don't care about anybody over the age of 49, but, you know, if you look across the landscape right now at what's working on television, you've got shows like Mad Men, like Damages, like Boardwalk Empire, like The Good Wife. Those are all for older viewers. The Killing, these shows are hot right now, and they clearly aren't being made for 20-year-olds.
That's for sure. And people who are older have more of a disposable income, too. I don't know where it's going. I think they think it's going towards, like, TMZ, which is basically idiotic television. A bunch of idiots sitting around chuckling at bad sleazy rumors. Although, I am a TMZ fan, so you can count me into that. But I've been watching it lately. I'm embarrassed. It's the kind of TV I'm embarrassed. It's like when I was a kid, I was embarrassed to read the National Enquirer. It's the same thing watching TMZ. But they have these dopey kids. I don't know if you ever watch it, but they have these dopey kids, and they just sit around and they make all these salacious comments about all these rumored stories. And it's like, oh my God, you know, they this isn't my classroom.
And that's the whole show.
That's the whole show. Have you ever watched it?
No, I've seen clips of it, but I've never seen an entire episode of it.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like the inverse of The Soup, which is, you know, a very smart program where they show clips from other shows and they make, like, you know, really smart comments. On this show, they just show really dumb stories and make really dumb comments. And a lot of them are really obscene, and it's only on, you know, I know that in New York it's on at 6:30. I don't know if it's on, you know, what time it's on in other time slots. But, you know, some of the things they say are really dirty, you know, for 6:30 in the evening.
Sure. And what do you make of things like Biggest Loser and Apprentice and Survivor? You know,
I'm not a reality TV person. Are you?
You know, I really enjoy a couple of them. I really like The Celebrity Apprentice, which just wrapped. I think that's a fabulous show. I mean, it's, you know, I was telling somebody in here the other day that you know, watching that show is just like what soaps used to be. I mean, you know, there's suspense about who's going to get fired, who's going to have a confrontation, who's going to, you know, it's what soaps used to do so well. And they take it and they spin it into a different milieu, of course. But, you know, it's at its base, at its foundation, it's the same thing.
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't really like a lot of reality shows. I like Dancing with the Stars, but I guess I'm old. You know, I'll watch Dancing with the Stars just because, you know, there's somebody on it that, like, I used to like or I used to know. Like, I watched a lot of Dancing with the Stars because I'm a big Wendy Williams fan, and they had Wendy Williams on this year. And then I got kind of sucked into it. But it's like the same thing as a soap. You want to know who's going to win from week to week.
Exactly.
You know.
You know, but I had Scott Bryce, the great Scott Bryce.
Oh, Scott Bryce, fantastic.
It was probably a year ago or better, and he's got one of these new online shows right now called Steamboat.
Oh, I love Steamboat. It's hilarious.
He's one of the behind-the-scenes guys. I think he directs it.
Right.
And anyway, we were talking about, you know, soaps and television and, you know, life and, you know, his career. And you know, one of the things he said that really touched a nerve with me, and I've never forgotten it, is that, you know, it's funny, this brave new world of social media with Twitter and with Facebook and, you know, with the internet and the world literally at our fingertips now. And it's funny how in many ways with these things America is now entertaining itself, which is fine, you know, on the face of it, but it's a tough new reality for people like Scott, like, you know, Susan Lucci, like all these people.
Yeah, for actors, for people
who
are in stories, yeah. Well, you know, acting has survived the last thousands and thousands of years, so I guess it will survive, but I really feel sorry for people like the Scott Brices of the world. And you have to feel sorry for people like soap writers. Where are they going to work?
No question.
You know, where who's going to hire them now? You know,
I think one of our friends,
who was a soap writer, just became a wrestling writer. So there's a transition in there, but I don't know how many other transitions there are.
And if you look at somebody like Frank Valentini, I mean, you can make a case that he's one of the best producers on television.
Right. And where is he going to go?
Absolutely. I mean, he's literally grown up on that show and in the daytime world. And you know, you have to wonder, is he going to be able to find a job? I mean, is somebody going to give up?
Well, he's a good producer. He'll probably be able to find something. But I don't know what the next step is going to be. You know, who knows what the next step is going to be. I mean, he's young and he's very dynamic. But what about the writers? That's the real hard part.
You know, you and I both have problems with Carlo Vatti, but he's a great writer. There's no question about it. And
you have
to wonder where someone like him is going to go next.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he might try primetime, you know. He might have a good future in that. But soaps are going to have to land up someplace. If they're not going to land up on daytime, they're going to land up somewhere, don't you think? I mean, there's always going to be a hunger for them.
Absolutely.
And as long as there's going to be a hunger for them, there's going to be new soaps, and they're going to need people to make them. You know, you and I have already said that if they put on a telenovela in a year from now with All Stars, we would be the first ones to tune in, right?
No question about it. I mean, wouldn't you love to see people like Kathleen Noon again or Vicki Wyndham?
I would love to see them.
Dan Barons, or, you know, any of these people from, you know, from yesteryear who were just great, solid actors.
Yeah, I would love to see them. They would be smart. Somebody would be smart to do a Where Are They Now? Speaking of Where Are They Now, have you heard that a lot of the staff of the soap magazines have been laid off?
Yes, I did hear that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you take away these two soaps, you're taking away, like, half the world. You're taking away all the, you know, what's going to happen to all these websites? What's going to happen to all these magazines? I mean, half my friends are through soap operas. It's really just, like, destroys the whole world.
You know, I think that we're coming to a point where Weekly and Digest are eventually going to either merge or one of them is going to go under. I mean,
yeah, I think that Weekly is going to, I think they have to be. They don't have any shows to cover. You're only going to have four shows to cover. No magazine could get along on just four shows.
Although, to be fair, Digest has been, you know, basically General Hospital Digest or Y&R Digest for quite a while now. So.
Oh, I don't really read it, so I don't know that. But I know that the weekly had been pretty much, you know, they had pretty much covered everything. And I know they fired some of their best people in the last couple of weeks.
Because at some point the math just doesn't make sense.
No, they just don't have enough. They just don't have enough. You know, they call it in Hollywood. They call it real estate. There's just not enough real estate. No, I got that word from Wendy Rich because we were once talking about, you know, about different shows. And I said, well, why don't you produce a show? And she said, well, there's not enough real estate. And that's what they call these shows, real estate. And if there's no soaps to cover, there's not going to be any soap opera magazines or any soap opera columns or anything like that.
Sure. So you mentioned Guza leaving GH. You know, I get a sense just from, you know, things I've heard and whispers here and there, but I get a sense that, you know, Ms. Phelps is a bit tired of being little more than a figurehead over at GH and that, you know, Guza's exit gives her an opening to exert a little
bit. Yeah, I heard they had a big fight. Yeah, I wonder what happened. I just think that the end game is near, and I think there's just a lot of fighting over it. I can't, you know, I mean, he hung on to that job for so long. I can't see why he would leave unless something big was about to happen. Can you? I mean,
you know,
he tenaciously hung on to that job.
In the midst of some pretty rough turmoil across the landscape.
Oh yeah, definitely, and especially in light of some pretty tough criticism by yours truly and many, many other people. You know, people have been trying to get rid of him for like the last 15 years.
You know, it's funny to me that in the old days you knew when you were watching a Jill Phelps produced show, and you know, you once said that she put her stamp on everything the way Louis Vuitton used to do with his luggage.
But she did a good job.
you know, over the past few years, it really hasn't. It could have been anybody's show instead of you know knowing that it was her show. And I know you've had a bit of a mixed history with her over the years, and I'm just wondering what you think.
No, but I admire her. I mean, she worked for 33 years straight, and you know, I think she's a really good producer. I mean, some of the things that she's done, I haven't liked. Like I didn't like when she was on One Life, but she really knows what she's doing. So you know, so there must be quite a power struggle out there as we speak. But I'm saying, I think the power struggle must come from something deeper.
Such as?
Such as cancellation. I'm like, boy, do we sound depressed or what? Tell my husband to bring me in some chocolate milk or something, you know.
So it really does sound like you're buying into the hype that the end is near for GH.
I'm not even buying into it. I just think it is. You know, as I said, Guza, I know, was a really strong salesman for his show, and I can't see him, you know, leaving without some real good reason, and nobody's given us a reason yet, have they?
Not that I've heard, no.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, they got rid of the All My Children writers just before they announced the cancellation, didn't they, when they brought in Lorraine?
Yes, and had the nerve to, you know, basically insinuate to all the reporters that AMC was safe just because they were bringing in a new writer.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So it looks like, you know, the same last step, I'm not sure. But I think when General Hospital goes off, people are really going to go crazy, don't you?
You know, that show, I mean, through thick and thin, that show has, you know, a Days has a pretty loyal fan base, but I don't think anybody can touch GH's fan base in terms
no,
of
and also they have so many, you know, they have, you know, General Hospital is also such a male show. They have so many male fans. I think they're really going to, you know, it's just very, very, you know, it's like a, you know, it's not just for women, that show. It's for, you know, men love that show because of all the, you know, some, not all men, but I'm just saying that, you know, the darkness of that show. I have a cousin that watches the show that's a salesman, and I mean, he loves that show. I think he'll go crazy if it goes off.
What do you make of what seems like a botched return for Vanessa Marceau, which was a great opportunity for them to, you know, really kind of...
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed her return. I mean, I know that most people didn't think it was that good, but I thought it was fine. It didn't bother me. I liked that she was back. I think she did a good job, but most people don't. What do you think?
You know, I think the way they introduced the story with her being, you know, kind of islanded in Italy for what felt like months, you know, away from all the people that she used to associate with, was it really kind of, I don't know, it set up a very anticlimactic
right.
story.
Well, talk about anticlimactic. What about when she married Sonny? They had one date and they got married. I never understood that. Did you?
You know, and that comes to my other big gripe about the show, was that everything moves so damn fast on that show now. I mean,
right.
They killed off, you know, they made Jocelyn gravely ill and then cured her and killed off Jake in the span of three episodes. I mean,
right. Well, they had, you know, one week I watched Brenda had one son, and then the next week I watched she had another, and I missed what happened in between. I had to call someone, a friend of mine, and say, what happened to Brenda's kid? I just missed it.
I mean, what happens in a week on that show would happen in 3 months on any other soap.
That's for sure. Well, in the old days, we used to complain that things were dragged out too long, but this thing, they don't even explain the storylines. But I don't think, you know, and now they're going to have Vanessa Marceau leave, and they're going to have Ingo leave. What are they going to have left? And they have Tyler Christopher leaving. That's a lot of people leaving at once.
You know, it seems to me like they're testing the waters on a Sonny Carly reconciliation. I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
They deserve each other. May they be happy forever and as far away from me as they could possibly get. I can't think of two more annoying, sick people.
You know, it just seems like they're working their way slowly back into each other's orbits and, you know, making googly eyes at each other again. And so it feels like they're...
As I said, let them have each other. I mean, I think that Carly is the single most unattractive, shrewish, you know, person. I mean, she's like an advertisement for therapy. Please therapize, you know, please make me better, because no one is as unpleasant as that. No one. You know, if she was my mother, I'd be very sorry. And I can never understand how anybody liked her, to tell you the truth.
You know, I don't like Carly per se, but I love Laura Wright. I think Laura Wright is fantastic.
I don't think she's so great. I know that she got an Emmy nomination this year, so that's good. I know that she works very hard. But the character is just so unattractive, and I don't mean physically.
They don't always do her a great favor with the way they write her, but, you know, she takes the material and she does the best she can with it.
Oh, definitely. But the material is just so annoying. It's like, you know, hate women, please. Hate me. I'm a bitch. And it's not even a fun bitch. You know, in the old days, soap opera bitches would be fun. You know, you'd
sure.
love them.
Like
you
Lucinda
know,
Walsh.
But what?
Like Lucinda Walsh.
Right, exactly. You would love them. Like Felicia Gallant, when she first came on, she was kind of bitchy. But now, I mean, Carly is just such a bitch. You just can't stand her. You know, speaking of bitches, Robin Strasser is going to leave early. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did hear that. But
that's terrible. How dare they insult me? I've watched Robin for 40 years. She's my favorite.
But now she's saying lately that she's consulted a new surgeon, and the surgeon is telling her to wait. So maybe
oh,
she
really?
Won't
I thought they were punishing her because she had been so, you know, because she had been so
outspoken.
You know, outspoken, yeah. When they were canceled. Where did you read that? Where did you hear that?
She was talking about it on her Twitter the other day.
She
consulted with a new surgeon, and the new surgeon advised her to try something else before going into surgery, and so maybe.
She has to be on at the end, and Tuck is going to be on all summer anyway. She has to be on with him, or else there's no, you know, there's no fun in the show.
You know, the final scene needs to be Dorian and Vicky in some capacity. I mean,
definitely, I agree with you.
I mean, they've been the heartbeat of the show for the entirety of the show now.
Yeah, I actually remember One Life to Live before Dorian, if you could believe that. That's how long I've been watching. I remember the original Dorian. That was many, 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 many centuries ago. But and also maybe by then all the everybody's different personalities. What do you think of Jess and Bess and Wes?
It's a mess. In a concise quote, it's a mess.
It's a mess. That's right. That rhymes.
I'm ready for the whole thing to be over. I mean, you know, they've milked that, and they've done the same thing with Vicky and Nikki. I mean, they've milked it so many times that it's kind of lost its power. It's lost.
But still, making her into a man was kind of funny, though.
You know, I've never been a huge fan of Brie. She doesn't really, to me, she doesn't have the emotional depth as an actress to really pull that stuff off the way Erica did.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've never really been a big fan either, but I know that she's very, very popular. Speaking of, my dog Nigel just made an entrance. Hold on one second. I just have to get him out of the room, okay? He's going to cry when One Life is canceled, let me tell you. I mean, you know who he's named after.
How about another phone call?
Fine.
This is area code 404. This is Atlanta, and I believe this is Justin.
Yes, it is, Brandon. Hi, Connie.
How are you doing?
Hi, how are you? I'm pretty good. I just called in because I couldn't hear the show through the website, but I figured I might as well say hello and say my piece.
Sure.
Connie, I did read you on Soap Opera Weekly back in the day. And
I appreciate it.
And I've watched soaps my whole life, 35 years, and it's really sad they're going away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm a lifelong Days fan, even though it's really bad right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of non-soap fans have said on TV, on the internet, oh, shows get canceled all the time, get over it. But this is not like Lost getting canceled. These shows have been on over 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Don't let anybody ever say get over it to you. Tell them to get over it.
Yeah, I've been very active in the campaigns to save the shows, and the personal assistant to the programming director of the ABC affiliate here in Atlanta wrote me and basically in a nice way told me that's the way it is, get over it and move on.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But, you know, I mean, this show, Days is my main show, but it's been present every stage of my life through jobs and relationships, and it's like a sense of nostalgia because the same characters that were on when I was in elementary school, some of them
right.
are still on.
And that's why it's such a shame to lose them. But you still have Days, right? What's Days like these days?
Oh, it's really, really bad.
Tell me why.
They have a storyline where basically this character named Rafe,
mm-hmm.
these two people.
The good-looking one.
He's played by, gosh, what's his name, Galen Gehring?
Yeah, he was on Passions, yeah.
Yes, he was. But anyway, Stefano, this evil villain, he's been on the show for decades. And
everybody knows Stefano.
Yeah, so what he did was they kidnapped Rafe and replaced him with a lookalike.
Oh.
And then there's this character named Melanie that the head writer they just fired, she webs her, and she's put her on every day. It's just really bad. But
yeah.
I'm hoping, I mean, the ratings have just gone down and down and down and down. So I'm hoping the two new writers can bring the ratings up before it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's not looking good. I would be surprised if it got renewed again.
Do you think it's going to be canceled?
Ken Corday was expecting to be canceled, and he was surprised it got a two-year renewal.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it was going to go off the air this year. And they told him it was renewed for 2013, and he was surprised. And honestly, I think that all the shows may be off the air by the end of the decade. That just seems to be the trend.
Wow.
They're so expensive to produce, and they're losing viewers. And I think it's because there's so many media choices out there. When I was a kid, we had channels 2 through 13.
Right.
Now I get like 150 channels, and we have the internet.
Right. You can watch The Real Housewives of New Jersey in the middle of the day.
Yeah, I hate that show. But a lot of people like it, and that's part of the problem.
Right. I agree.
And with DVRs, people like me are fast-forwarding to the commercials. So when you have some soap opera, it may have been Katherine Hickland, some soap
mm-hmm.
opera stars said they cost between $750,000 and $1 million to produce
mm-hmm.
every year, every week. And
that's
no, with Susan Lucci. Susan
yeah.
Lucci said the new shows are going to be 40% cheaper to produce.
Right.
It's just a business decision.
Right. Is it that so many people have their personal identities as being ourselves, of course, that's what I'm talking about, you know, bound up in these shows and,
sure.
you know, so many memories from their lifetimes.
Yes. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid thinking, oh, I'm going to be watching Days of Our Lives when I'm an old man, but
mm-hmm.
looks like that's not going to happen now. And I think it was Jeannie Francis that said in an interview this week I read that she thinks YNR is going to be the last soap standing. She's probably right.
Although I think the fact that Bold and the Beautiful is the most popular show in the world
mm-hmm.
really gives them a leg to stand on in terms of, you know, longevity. I don't know.
Right. Well, I think the Bells don't have it.
At one time, Santa Barbara was too, and that didn't really matter in the end. So I don't know how much faith you can put in that, but I think that's something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's just so strange to think about. Like, you know, when I get home from work, I watch Days of Our Lives and I eat dinner. I've been doing that for years. So that might not be there anymore. That's going to be, when am I going to watch?
Well, that's how I feel about All My Children, One Life to Live. Brandon,
yeah,
you too?
Absolutely.
I just
one Life.
I've never
one
seen
life
All My
been
Children.
My show since then for over 20 years now. I mean, I've literally grown up with One Life. So.
Me too.
Yeah.
I used to watch One.
Yeah, I've never seen All My Children, and I just tuned into One Life to Live after a long year absence. I watched it back in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
right after the cancellation announcement, and it's really good right now.
Yeah,
it's a shame
big
it's
show.
Been taken off the air. And, I mean, I kind of like the Jess, Bess, West storyline.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like it, too. It's kind of gimmicky, but it could be fun at times, especially when they made Wes into a man.
What was really funny is a line, I don't know, what is Tess's husband's name? I don't know, but anyway.
Cutter?
Yeah, Cutter. So, Cutter, I think it was Cutter, but... Wes said he had to go to the bathroom, and I think it was Cutter that said, don't forget to leave the toilet seat up. That was pretty funny. But yes, it's just so sad they're going away, and I think it's inevitable. I think
yeah, but I think you might have some more time left on Days than we have left on the ABC shows.
Yeah, a couple more years. But honestly, Days is so bad right now, I'm thinking of tuning out and starting to watch YNR.
Uh-huh. Well, YNR isn't a bad show. Have you watched it all now?
I've watched it some.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good show. It's like what Days was in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of character-based, and the storylines just aren't completely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I like YNR. So if Days goes off the air, I'll probably just switch to that.
Pretty soon it will be the only alternative. And General Hospital if it stays on the air. Do you watch that at all?
No, I don't. So do you think the future of soaps is pretty bleak?
I think it's bleak, but I think that they will return someday. I don't know when, though.
You were saying that earlier, but, I mean, the tide always changes in soap operas. Like, before I was born, it was Westerns. And you remember in the early 2000s, we had Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in 21. And things go in cycles.
Right.
So even if 5 years from now soaps do come back, it's going to be brand new ones. It's not going to be ones with the 40-year history.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
the
tragedy. That's the tragedy.
And like I said before, this is not like Lost getting canceled.
Uh-huh. Well, they did bring back Let's Make a Deal, and they, you know, that was gone for a long time. But,
right.
You know, they're ending the continuity on these shows.
Right. And that's what I like about soap operas.
Continuity?
Yes. And it's just sad they're moving away.
Yeah, it really is sad.
But anyway, that's about my piece. I just, like I said, I just called in because
I can't hear the show through my browser,
but I thought I'd just say hello.
Nice to talk to you. Hang in there.
Good to talk to you, too.
Hang in there.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Justin. You know, I have a sense that somebody at NBC, and, you know, I'm giving them a lot of credit here, but I have a sense that somebody at NBC was, you know, really kind of looking around, and when they renewed Days this last time, and they renewed Days because they knew that Oprah was going away, they had a sense that ABC was about to make major changes, and so they thought maybe it would be nice to double down on something familiar and something comfortable, and you know, if I were Ken Corday and if I were in charge of that show, I would take this summer and use it to fortify that show and make it as strong as it possibly can be, so that
those are very wise, attractive to
viewers looking for a new show come September.
Yeah, those are very wise words. I'm not a big Days fan, but if they can make it better, because Justin, who just called, seemed to really like Days in the past, and he really sounds very disappointed now, don't you think?
Yes, and, you know, that's I don't watch that show myself, but that's what I'm hearing from people who do watch that show and who have loved that show historically over the years.
Yeah, well, as I said, you know, now they're going to have a new head writer. Maybe things will get better.
So what do you think of Paul Roush leaving YNR? Is that good
for
the show?
Paul, he's 78 years old. He deserves to retire. He had a glorious career, Mr. Paul, my old friend. I spoke to him in the last spring about some old shows that he was on. It was a lot of fun.
Wow.
You know, when I think of, you know, the old days, I used to be so afraid of him. He was so intimidating. But he really turned out to be very nice to me in the long run. And a genius, and I was the first to say it.
You know, I think he brought a lot to YNR over the past couple of years, and I wonder how they're going to fare without him.
Yeah, I wonder, too. I think that the production was really well done.
I think that, you know, Maria has gotten a lot of credit for, you know, what we see on that show, but I think that behind the scenes, Paul has been a major force on that show. And
oh, yeah, I saw Paul's contributions, definitely. You know, definitely. Paul's very operatic, and the whole show was very operatic and, you know, was very moody and really, you know, fell together quite well. And now it just seems kind of pedestrian.
And what do you think of Miss Jeannie coming over there?
Oh, I think it's a great idea for Jeannie. I'm all for her, you know. I think she got short shrift at General Hospital. She sounded pretty together today on the talk. She sounded like she really wanted to get in there. I don't think it's a long-term role, though. Do you?
You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, that story has been kind of, it's been kind of tough to get a read on that whole story. I don't know if you watch the show regularly, but, you know.
I don't understand it, do you? I don't understand the story. I mean, isn't he supposed to be dead?
He is, but, you know, we don't know. I mean, Lily's been seeing, you know, what she thinks is a ghost. I mean, we know it's not a ghost, but we don't really know who it is that she's been seeing.
We know it's not a ghost? I didn't know that. I thought it was.
There was a scene a while back where Jill and Colin were in the cemetery and he was watching them. So that was, I guess, meant to indicate to us that he's not a ghost, that he is actually a real person. So
right. But I'm not really excited about the story, but I'm excited about Jeannie. I really think she deserves another chance. She's such a good actress.
And she looks fabulous.
Yeah, she looks like a million bucks, doesn't she?
I don't know what she's been doing, but it agrees with her.
Yeah, she looks wonderful. She looked great on the talk today, really fantastic. And she looks fantastic in the ad. She's so slim.
Absolutely.
But
Roger Howard's back on One Life. And
but they haven't done anything with him. He just sits there and sits in that chair. When are they going to get him out of there?
you know, I know that neither one of us have ever been Todd fans, really, but, you know, it's still
no,
kind
but
of
this is a story to be excited about.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, I've been staying away from spoilers as best as possible, and I literally have no idea where that story's headed.
Yeah,
and
either do I. It's a real mystery. I want to know how Blair is going to react and how, you know, Tay is going to react. I mean, they're all going to go crazy, don't you think?
No question. And, you know, it's so funny that Florencia and Cassie both have chemistry with Trevor, as well as, you know, the chemistry that they had with Roger back in the day.
Right. That's because they're good actors. That's why.
You know, it's going to be very interesting to see which direction they go with this.
Yeah. I thought that, you know, it looks like it's going to be for the rest of the show, don't you think? I mean, they have plenty of time. They're not going off the air until January, so they have plenty of time to play it.
Absolutely.
But Trevor is so creepy, though. He scares me. Well, in the old days, Roger used to scare me, even scared me personally, you know. He was never really a great person to deal with, you know. He was never really very friendly. But Trevor just scares the hell out of me on that show.
And have you had any interaction with him at all in...
No.
In terms of interviews or anything?
No.
Yeah, I think he's pretty press shy. I don't think he's done much in terms of, you know, personal press.
No, but this character is just so creepy. You know, like, how could his wife and his children love him? It just it's beyond me. Especially Taya. Taya's like the most, you know, she's like the most mature, sophisticated woman on Dayton. And she loves him. I don't get it.
And the things that they've allowed that character to get away with, it truly is shocking.
Yeah, it's true. He's gotten away with so much. Did you like the bullying storyline?
I haven't loved it, but I've liked it. But, you know, I mean, what's funny about that show is they have so much story going on that
you don't even
realize
it
for weeks at a time, and then when they pop back in, it kind of loses its effect a little bit. And we haven't seen those characters for a couple of weeks now, and so when they do pop back in, it's like, oh, okay, it's hard to get any kind of momentum going in terms of story when, you know, you only see it once every couple of weeks. So.
Right. I think it's not over yet either. I think that they're gonna go with more of it too. I don't like the actor who's playing Jack. I don't really, you know, I don't really take to him very much. He doesn't really affect me too much one way or the other. And I think that's essential when it comes to the telling of that story to have a really good actor in that role.
Because otherwise, there are no stakes. I mean,
yeah.
If it's not credible, then
no,
it
doesn't
it's
seem
really
that credible
to
me. The actor who plays Shane has been okay, though.
Yeah. And, you know, JP and Farrah have been remarkably...
Good. It's the best they've ever been.
Absolutely. No question about it.
Yeah. Farrah was never my favorite, ever. And they really made her come around with this one. They really made her into a, you know, a very... Well, she's always played a really good mother. That's one thing. She's very... Well, always played a good mother. But, you know, she's really done a good job with this. What do you think?
You know, it just goes to show that when you give an actor good material, he can rise to the occasion, he or she.
Yeah, definitely. But do you really think they're going to have Matthew die?
I
can't
see
it. What?
I mean, I would say if the show were going to go on, that he would be the future of the show. But
right, I know. I can't believe they're going to have... I don't think they're going to have him die.
I can't see it happening. I just can't imagine.
Yeah, I can't see it either. But they say he's almost brain dead, right?
That's what we're hearing, and they're teasing the fact that he's going to help save Clint's life.
Yeah, I just can't see them doing that to Bo and Nora, can you? I mean, it's just too much. As a matter of fact, I couldn't even watch that. It's so painful.
And he's such a good, natural, interesting actor. I mean,
yeah, unless he had other better things to do, then I could understand it, like if he was going to go off and do a movie or something.
Yeah. You know, he's still very young, but he's a very natural, very...
Oh, he's great. But I just think it's such a cruel story, don't you? And no, it's cruel to the viewers because we saw that character being born on, you know, we saw that character being born and grown up and everything, and he's always been such a good guy until
sure.
recently. What do you think of Clint confessing to on TV?
But, you know, these children in grave jeopardy, it's pretty much par for the course on ABC these days.
I know. Somebody was telling me over the weekend it's really good not to be a child on ABC. If you're a child on ABC these days, you're in bad shape. What do you think of Clint confessing?
You know, it's
How are they going to get them off?
You know, I don't know, but I think it's, I don't know, it was a risk they took making that character turn toward the dark side, and, you know, Jerry Verdorn really sold it, and he really made it believable. But you know,
oh, he certainly did. He did a great job. He should have gotten an Emmy nomination.
But Clint was always such a good guy. It was just, it was stunning watching him take it, such a dark, evil turn.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm glad that they're really having him feel remorse and really kind of trying to bring him back to a good place on the canvas.
Well, but the thing is that, you know, I don't think Matthew killed Eddie for it. I think it was somebody else.
Really?
Well, I don't know. They can't have Matthew go to jail. They can't have him die, and they can't have him go to jail, and they can't have Clint go to jail. So what are they going to do?
But we've already seen the flashbacks. But
that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. It could be somebody else. You never know. But I I can't believe they would kill off Matthew. They couldn't do that to me.
You mentioned the Emmys. Do you have any thoughts on the Emmy nominations?
Not really. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I really don't pay that much. You know, there's been so many other things happening that I haven't really spent that much time. You know, I like that Debbie Morgan got a nomination. I think she's been really great. What do you think?
Do the Emmys even matter anymore? I mean, ultimately.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do they matter anymore? I didn't even watch last year. I missed it altogether last year, which was like the first time in like 40 years or something that I didn't watch.
You know, I wonder with, you know, only 6 or 7 shows and we're fixing to be down to 4. I mean, I wonder if even winning one holds the same sort of cachet that it once did.
I know. I wonder if do you have any thoughts about any of the other nominees?
I was thrilled for Laura Wright because she's worked hard in this medium for 20 years, and it's her very first recognition. And I was, you know, I'm a big fan of hers, and I was thrilled for her. I was thrilled for Jonathan Jackson because I think he's phenomenal.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
You know, it was nice to see some new blood in there. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head now that I say that, but
mm-hmm.
You know, there were several new names in the mix that we haven't really seen before.
Colleen Zenk.
Absolutely. I mean, she was back in the day, but it's been a long time coming for her. So.
Right. She might even win. You never know.
Absolutely. You know, it was good to see World Turns make such a strong showing there.
Right. They really did make a strong showing. But when are the Emmys? They're in June, right? Like the end
June
of June?
June 19th, I want to say, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Last year's show was really tacky, right?
You know, it was... They did a large chunk of it devoted to American
Vegas.
Mark. I mean, they kind of relegated the awards themselves to, you know, kind of the background, basically. I mean, it was all...
Right. But who's the host this year? Isn't it like Wayne Brady or someone like
yeah.
that?
Yep.
Well, then, you know, he's a good showman. I'm sure that, you know, he'll put on a good show. But they're going to have to, like, not put on as much as Las Vegas as they put on last year. A lot of people really complained.
Absolutely. I mean, they didn't show any soap clips. They didn't show any of the nominee clips. Like I said, the awards themselves were basically relegated to, you know, a secondary position on an award show. It was kind of an odd way to put together an award show. I mean, I know that they did it to appeal to a mass audience, but, you know, it's the daytime Emmys, and it should be about the Emmys themselves.
Yeah, well, it's going to be on CBS again this year, so it's going to be the same kind of a setup. It's the same producers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how much better it'll be, to tell you the truth.
And
but
I haven't heard any
details
about the
watch.
Itself.
God, the first daytime Emmys I went to was in 1980. Do you believe that? 1980. That's a long time ago.
Were they even on television at that point?
Yeah, they were on in the afternoon.
Okay.
The first stars I ever saw was... the guy who played Matt Corey on Another World and Judith Light. It was a thrill. But that was so long ago.
So are you an Oprah fan?
So-so.
Are you going to be watching tomorrow her finale?
Oh, sure,
time?
You have to. It's TV history. Are you going to watch?
Absolutely. You know, I just read while I was preparing for this conversation that her episode yesterday scored something like 14 million viewers, which is, you know, double her recent average. And
I know. They're giving her such a great send-off, and folks are not going to get a good – and the other – I wonder what kind of send-off All My Children, One Life to Live are going to get.
you know, it was so funny because Guiding Light got such a, you know, a full court press with 60 Minutes and, you know, with all the
right.
magazines and all the newspapers and all the people. And then, you know, World Turns was just kind of shuffled off to...
They'll probably do a lot of press with Agnes, if, you know, they'll probably do a lot of Agnes press and that's it. But it's going to be so sad. I'll be crying. What about you?
Oh, I'm going to... you know, I was inconsolable the day it was announced, and I can't even imagine what it's going to be like in January when One Life, my show, goes away.
Yeah, me too. But I hope we get to speak more before then.
Absolutely. I want you to come back in here in September and help me send all my children to its resting place in proper glory.
Oh, well. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Brandon.
Thank you so much, my darling.
Okay, we'll speak to you again soon. You're the best.
You are the best.
You're the best.
You are the best.
Okay, you're the best. Take care.
The great Connie Passalacqua-Heyman, everybody. I'm Brandon's
Thank
Buzz.
You.
Brandon
Thank you so
Buzz.
Much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Brandon's Buzz in the can for May 24th, 2011. If you're listening to the show, you already know, but in case you don't, three places online to find Brandon's Buzz, and they are blogtalkradio.com/Brandon's Buzz. That is really home base for this show. From there, you can download the show, you can listen to the show, you can leave comments, you can send emails. It really is home base for Brandon's Buzz. Again, it's blogtalkradio.com/Brandon's Buzz. You can also find me at brandonsbuzz.com, my blog. From there, there's a full radio archive of every episode of this show. This is episode number 83. This and all previous 82, including all six of Marlena Delacroix, Connie Passalacqua-Heyman's episodes are available in the radio archive at brandonsbuzz.com. You can also find me on iTunes, guys. I'm on iTunes. Just type Brandon's Buzz in the iTunes Music Store search box. Scroll down to the podcast section. Click on my logo. From there, you can download individual old episodes of the show as podcasts for playback on the device of your choosing, or you can subscribe to the show and have new episodes automatically download to your library the minute they're uploaded to the music store. So I'm all over. I'm on iTunes. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. Google the words Brandon's Buzz together, and something will pop up that points you in my direction, I promise. And as always, I appreciate you guys coming in my direction. I appreciate you guys finding me and listening to me, and I hope you continue finding and listening to Brandon's Buzz.
Hi, everybody out there. This is Eileen Kristen, and I have just been on Brandon's Buzz. This is a great show and a very sophisticated mind. So spread the word, Brandon's Buzz.
This is Claire Massey from Tammy Show, and you're listening to Brandon's Buzz. Great guy, great show. Check it out.
Hey, guys, this is Brett Claywell from One Life to Live, and you're listening to Brandon's Buzz.
Hi, this is Lynn Herring on Brandon's Buzz. It's the great entertainment talk show on now. Brandon, I love you. Thanks for having me.
So if you feel that you just can't take it and your world isn't what it seems, don't forget that life can be what you make it. Better when you live on a street of dreams.
Hey, this is Nia Peoples, and you're with Brandon's Buzz, the place to be.
Hi, everybody. This is Nicholas Walker. Merci à vous tous. Écoutez Brandon Buzz sur Blog Talk Radio. Bonsoir et à très bientôt.